We've come to the house of Kashi Mishra. And in the house of Kashi Mishra, the Gambira, or the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for 24 years. And during those 24 years, stages of devotional ecstasy that have never been heard of before or since. It's a very holy place. And the deities of Radha Kanta, very mysterious description surrounding them also. So how this place became the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We were at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya very briefly before. From the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he arranged a place for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to reside at his maternal aunt's home. Where that is, I've not heard. But after some months of remaining in Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed the devotees that he wanted to go searching for his elder brother, Vishwarup, who had taken sannyas and no one had seen for a long time. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is omniscient, and he knew that his elder brother had already left his body and had gone to the spiritual world. So it's very, very difficult for the devotees to bear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's separation. But what could they do? He's the independent Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya expressed his great sorrow that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go, but he made one request, that in the course of your travels, be sure that you seek out the association of Ramananda Roy, and you will understand why I am saying so after you have his association. Before, I didn't understand what an exalted personality he is, and now with your association, I clearly can understand. So deeply knowledgeable in the mellows of devotional service. So Mahaprabhu began his South Indian tour, which lasted for about 2 years. Sometime after he left, King Prataparudra came here. This was part of his kingdom. And as we already heard, he had invited Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to come and reside here in Puri and be the learned priest of his kingdom. So he inquired from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "I have heard there's one very young and very advanced sannyasi from Bengal who has recently come here to Jagannath Puri. I'd like to learn more about him, and I would like to have his association. Can you make that arrangement?" Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "That's not possible. He's already gone on his South Indian tour. But even when he returns, it will be difficult, because he's a very strict sannyasi, and he will not readily associate with worldly people." The king said, "Since he's such an elevated personality, why is it that you let him go? Why didn't you keep him here in Puri?" And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "That would not have been possible. He's the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who can restrict his movements? And the king responded by saying, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you are the most learned person I know. There is no one as learned as you. And just by your making the statement that he is the personality of Godhead, I accept. In his purport, Prabhupada explains, this is how one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By submissive hearing, and it's not possible otherwise, this descending mercy of the Supreme Lord comes through sound vibration, and when we receive that sound vibration by submissive oral reception, then one can understand the absolute truth, and not otherwise. This theme repeatedly weaves its way into so many pastimes here in Jagannath Puri. Then the king said, all the more reason, when he returns, please make an arrangement somehow. Make an arrangement that I can at least once have darshan of his lotus feet. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya indicated, I will try. But one thing for sure, when he returns, he's going to need a suitable residence. You are the king. You are in charge of this whole land. Please consider, where is an appropriate place? Some place where he can be near enough to the Jagannath temple that he could easily have darshan of Lord Jagannath. But at the same time, some place where it's a little quiet and peaceful. Please consider and see if you can make some arrangement like that for him. Immediately the king responded, I know exactly the place. In the house of Kashi Mishra, he is a pure Vaishnava. And he will be very happy. I'll personally make the request. Kashi Mishra was delighted to have in his home Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this large compound, this side and that side and behind, that's the house of Kashi Mishra. Very, very wealthy and aristocratic and pure Vaishnava. So the arrangement was made in this solitary room where he would not be disturbed by people coming and going. And he could be very quietly situated. So when Mahaprabhu came back, wonderful description in Chaitanya Charitamrita of the joy that the devotees received. Hearing that Mahaprabhu was back. Although he had only been here for a few months, everyone was totally attached to his association. And so he came and was shown the place where he would stay, Gambira. And he was very, very pleased. Kashi Mishra brought his whole family and paid their obeisances before Lord Chaitanya. While he was paying his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya placed very gently his foot on Kashi Mishra's head. And according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, he then showed Kashi Mishra his four-arm Vishnu form. Kashi Mishra was stunned to understand not just a young sannyasi that's going to be residing in our home, it's the personality of Godhead. So as he was making his residence here, one by one, the devotees who were in his association in various places, they came here like iron filings to a magnet, attracted to Lord Chaitanya's association. We described the Kal Krishna Das episode, the devotee who was with Lord Chaitanya during his South Indian tour and left Lord Chaitanya's association. due to influence of the Badaharis, and Mahaprabhu told him, or told the devotees, he's now dismissed from my service. He was given as a servant to assist me. The tour is over. He can do whatever he likes. I no longer require service from him of any kind. Like, so the compassionate devotees arrange for Kalkrishna Das to go to Navadvip. When he reached Navadvip, the devotees were jubilant. Mahaprabhu has returned, let's go. And while they were making their preparations, Paramananda Puri, a godbrother of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, who Lord Chaitanya had met during his South Indian tour in South India, in Rishabh Hill. They had wonderful exchange with one another, and Mahaprabhu requested, when I come back to Jagannath Puri, can you please come and give your association? Come and stay with me. This is my heart's desire. It was Paramananda Puri's heart's desire also, so he readily agreed. In the course of making his way, he also went to Navadvip. So he heard from Kalkrishna Das. He didn't want to wait for everybody. He wanted to come immediately. And so Advaita Acharya arranged for his personal secretary, Kamalakanta Vishwas, to come with him. And the two journeyed, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received Paramananda Puri in Gambhira. After some time, one of his long-standing friends from Navadvip, whose name was Purushottama Acharya, about same age as Mahaprabhu, they were classmates. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas at the age of 24, Purushottama Acharya went mad. And not knowing what to do, he went to Varanasi and also took sannyas. And he, rather than taking a sannyas name, he took a brahmachari name that serves as sannyasi in the Bharati Sampradaya. Significance. The Buddha, although having the qualification of sannyas, taking the designation of the servant of a sannyasi. And that brahmachari name was Swarup. Later, Lord Chaitanya gave him the second name, Damodar, because of his nice singing. Swarup Damodar was very expert singer and vastly learned in the scripture and deeply realized. Mainly so Swarup Damodar, Lord Chaitanya accepted as his personal secretary, who was making all arrangements. And Swarup Damodar kept very, very careful record in his diary. In like very distilled, very capsule form of not only the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the inner mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later on, that diary was shared with Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, when he came here to Jagannath Puri to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya placed him under the care of Swarup Damodar. So he became known as the Raghu of Swarup, because there were a number of Raghunaths. So to distinguish one Raghunath from another, the Raghu of Swarup. And every day, Raghunath Das Goswami would hear from Swarup Damodar not only the past times that took place before he came here, but the inner mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which no one else understood other than Rupa Goswami and Ramananda Roy and Sarup Damodar. Then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, Raghunath Das, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, but had mainly resided here in Puri, he decided, what is the use of maintaining my life without the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I'm going to go to Vrindavan, take shelter of Rupa and Sanatan, worship Govardhan Hill, and then jump from Govardhan Hill and give up my life. That was Raghunath Das's mood. Because previously, here in Jagannath Puri, Raghunath Das had the association of both Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami when they came here to associate with Mahaprabhu and stayed at Siddhabokul with Haridas Thakur. Raghunath Das associated with them, so he knew them intimately. And he wanted their association. So they understood his mood. And they forbade him from taking his life, saying, you know the pastimes of Mahaprabhu and Puri. We were in Vrindavan serving in separation. And that was very difficult to do, but we had service to do on his behalf. You got his association right here in Jagannath Puri. And you know from Sarup Damodar all the details of his life in Puri. It is your service to the Vaishnavas to describe these pastimes. We're instructing you every day. You sit beneath this tree. And so he did. He sat under a certain tree every day for 3 or 4 hours and simply described the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he understood them from Sarup Damodar. And in that audience was one learned person called Krishnadas. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when receiving order from Haridas Pandit, he then took everything that he heard from Raghunath Das, which he learned from Sarup Damodar, which he kept very carefully in his diary, along with the kadachas, or the notes, like the personal diary of Murari Gupta during the time that Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip. So intimately he knew Navadvip Leela and Puri Leela. And on those strong foundations, he wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, including the descriptions of the pastimes that take place here in Gambira. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that the bodily transformations, the symptoms of ecstatic love for Krishna that Lord Chaitanya exhibited, have never been heard of before. Ordinary people don't understand them. Most people don't even believe them. But what can I say? On the authority of Raghunath Das Goswami, I simply write what he has taught. And as for myself, I believe them completely. Just amazing states of ecstasy. So Purushottam Acharya came to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He made arrangements for his residence. Across the street from the temple of Jagannath Pandit, the Radha Giridhari temple, very nearby there in that same lane, is the temple of Sarup Damodar and his deities. After some time, Ramananda Roy came to Jagannath Puri along with the king. Because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu parted with Ramananda Roy, he had requested him, as he did with Paramananda Puri, please see if you can get leave from government service and come and stay with me in Puri. I want you to be my constant companion. So these two, Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar, during the final 12 years of Mahaprabhu's Leela, were constantly associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there's spiritual significance with this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Radha, in separation from Krishna in Vrindavan. And Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar are none other than Vishakha and Lalita, the principal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, thus pacifying the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Vishakha and Lalita would do to pacify the heart of Radha in her moods of separation from Krishna. Very transcendental. The external appearance of things does not disclose the transcendental reality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful pastimes. But again, this, even a drop of descending mercy makes this possible. After some time, Govinda and Kashishwara Pandit came here. Just before we came to Puri, we visited the birthplace of Ishwara Puri. So just before Ishwara Puri left this world, he requested two of his disciples, which means they're god brothers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda and Kashishwara Pandit, to go to Jagannath Puri and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was his instruction. So they came here to Gambira. They paid their respects to their godbrother and said, we're here simply to serve you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling difficulty. How can I take service from my godbrothers? So he questioned Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Is this not against protocol or proper Vaishnava etiquette for one's godbrother to receive service from another? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, in matters of spiritual etiquette, one has to consider that above this matter that you just described, the order of the spiritual master is very strong, and it takes precedence. Therefore, you should serve him. Just to give you some idea of how this teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita plays its part in our daily affairs within the Hare Krishna movement. We had some discussion in our GBC meetings about whether in the presence of an initiating spiritual master within ISKCON, can a disciple of that physically present spiritual master, can the disciple become an initiating guru within ISKCON? So we assigned this question to our Shastric Advisory Council to research. And in short, here's what they came up with. First is, historically, it certainly was something that was done during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. Saranga Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered to receive, to accept disciples. Gadadhar Pandit had disciples and so on. We know scripturally these personalities had disciples. So is it Authorized? Scripturally? Yes. Then the next step was both Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada repeatedly made explicit indications, this shouldn't happen. It's not a proper etiquette, disciple, particularly disciples eager to do some service like that in the presence of their spiritual master. So then that meant it shouldn't be done in ordinary circumstances. Following the Acharya example of both Srila Prabhupada, our ISKCON's founder Acharya, and Bhaktisiddhanta, within ISKCON we should not do like that. But if the order of the spiritual master is there, according to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's determination, which Lord Chaitanya accepted, if the order of the spiritual master is there, that is very strong and that takes precedence. I just wanted to share how, in a practical ISKCON, you know, kind of consideration, how these narrations of Chaitanya Charitamrita and being very tuned in to the messages that are embedded within these teachings, how we can conduct our life and go safely on the path back to Godhead. So on the strength of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's recommendation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Govinda, who became, Swarup Damodar was his personal secretary, Govinda became his personal servant, and performed intimate services to the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, day and night. Kashishwara Pandit was a Brahmin, but he was very special, very strong. And so his service was, whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to visit the Jagannath Temple, or whenever there was Rath Yatra or any public event, he with his associates would surround Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and keep people from pressing and touching his feet and so on. After some time, a parallel event took place, and that is in Vrindavan, when the deity of Radha, which Janava Mata, no, this happened later, when the deity Rupa Goswami had established the Govindaji deity. The deity was found underground by a cow coming and delivering milk every day, and Rupa Goswami had that place unearthed and found the Govinda deity. He sent a message to Mahaprabhu requesting Kashishwara Pandit to come and join him for the worship of the deity, because he was very, very expert in deity worship. And then Mahaprabhu accepted, this is a very good proposal, and he requested Kashishwara Pandit to go and assist Rupa Goswami in the worship of Govindaji. And Kashishwara didn't want to leave Lord Chaitanya's association, but he didn't want to disobey the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We find these kinds of transcendental dilemmas sometimes. It wasn't just selfishness, it was a transcendental attachment to Lord Chaitanya's association. So understanding the mood of Kashishwara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave permission that a murti of himself, a Mahaprabhu murti, during his presence, as he, there are very special significance to these deities, like the deities of Goridas Pandit, the deities of Dwijavaninath, also this deity of Kashishwara Pandit. He gave authorization for him to have a deity so that he could directly be in his association. So Kashishwara left Puri with this Mahaprabhu deity, and to this day, the deity of Mahaprabhu is by the side of Radha Govinda. in Jaipur, being worshipped along with him, starting with Kashishwara Pandit. Loving exchange is the message. Just varieties of loving exchange. These are the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. Then after some time, Raghava Pandit and Damayanti came. Raghava Pandit is very, very famous in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela because of the intense devotion, pure devotion that Raghava Pandit had both in deity worship and in his service to Mahaprabhu. The cooking of Damayanti. There's pages describing the preparations that she made and the mood with which she prepared them with such love, with such care, with such painstaking, loving, devotional effort that Mahaprabhu had such affection and love for these two. Damayanti was the sister, Raghava Pandit, the brother. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that this phrase became popular, Raghavera Jali, the bags of Raghava Pandit. Each time they would come, year after year, she would make little packages in cloth that somehow, magically, mysteriously, they wouldn't go bad. Details and details and details in those bags, and she would wrap them very carefully and deliver them to Govinda. Elaborate description of how this would happen. The Gambira, just a small room, half the room was filled with bags of prasad that the devotees would bring as they came each year to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Govinda would not know what to do, because people would ask, did Mahaprabhu like the preparation that we brought? You know how it is. And Govinda couldn't lie. Oh, he hasn't even eaten it. He just said, put it off in the corner somewhere. He couldn't say that. Couldn't tell the truth and couldn't lie. He finally came to Mahaprabhu. What do I tell everybody? Mahaprabhu's reply was, you've been serving me all these years and you still don't know how to deal with a circumstance like this? Bring the prasad. But it's a half a room full of prasad. Bring the prasad. I will eat now. And as each preparation was brought, Govinda was keeping careful note. This is the preparation that this devotee, that devotee, this devotee. And Mahaprabhu would eat and, oh, very nice. And a half a room full of prasadam was gone in a matter of a couple of hours. He just kept eating and eating and eating. All that was left was the bags of Raghava Pandit. And Mahaprabhu then said, you bring a little bit every day. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes miraculously the prasad of Raghava Pandit and Damayanti lasted for a whole year. But it tasted as if it was cooked the same day. All because of the love of Raghava Pandit. In detail, Krishnadas Kaviraj describes the kind of devotion with which Raghava Pandit served his deity in Navadvip. The special sweet coconuts, you know this Leela. Although he was a wealthy landholder, he had, in Bengal, how many coconut trees are there? So many coconut trees. And he had gardens filled with coconut trees. But when he would hear that someplace there were especially sweet coconuts, he would send his servant to go miles away, climb up the tree, clip the coconuts, and bring them. So one time, the detail is described, as the servant was bringing them to be offered, first they would have to cut the top of the coconut and then pour the sweet coconut water. As he passed by to the door, his hand touched just above the door, and Raghava Pandit saw that this servant had touched. So because he had touched a place where the foot dust had gone, throw the coconuts over the wall, go get some more. Not wash them, please. Throw them away, go again and get more. Mahaprabhu described, this is the devotion of Raghava Pandit. Such care for the worship of the deity. And why? Because this deity is Krishna. And he wanted to offer only the very best to Krishna, and offer with great care and devotion. Because of that quality of Raghava Pandit's devotion, the purity of his devotion, he was so happy to receive whatever it was that was offered with love by Raghava Pandit and Damayanti. Meanwhile, the devotees from Navadvip were soon to arrive. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came sometime before the Rath Yatra festival. The Snan Yatra was performed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Puri during that 15 days when Jagannath is taken off the altar. And not being able to remain in Puri without the darshan of Lord Jagannath, he left. But then when he heard that the devotees were coming, he came back to Puri, received the devotees, and in course of their stay here in Jagannath Puri, he would have kirtan and discussions with his intimate devotees in the evening. And then here in the Gambira, there's elaborate description of how he would one by one by one, or in groups according to their geographic location, receive the devotees and give his personal instruction. So just some concluding remarks about the spiritual significance of Gambira and Lord Chaitanya's stay here in Jagannath Puri in general. We all know very well that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. He is Krishna in the bhava and the duty, the emotion and the luster of Radha. So Radha and Krishna in one form. Specifically, his coming here to Jagannath Puri has spiritual significance, not just because Mother Sachi said, can you please go there? There's spiritual significance. As we heard on the first day that we were here, this description of the appearance of the Jagannath deity and Narada Muni's explanation of the emotion connected with the Jagannath deity. The emotion was Krishna's, Jagannath represents Krishna's mood of separation from Radha. This is Lord Jagannath. Radha's separation from Krishna is Lord Chaitanya. Krishna, in the mood of Radha, feeling the separation of Krishna, is worshipping Krishna, who's in the mood of separation from Radha, as Jagannath. Now how do we not just store that information in our computer bank, but how do we understand that. It's one of these inconceivable things. And the only way that we can even get a little drop of understanding is by getting the mercy of Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy and those intimate devotees that received their mercy, who received their mercy, who received their mercy, and getting some of that mercy in disciplic succession. Jagannath Puri represents this mood of love and separation. Krishna's separation from the residents of Vrindavan, and particularly Radha, Radha's mood of separation from Krishna in Vrindavan. The connection with Vrindavan is very strong. The mood of separation is what intensifies that connection. In Rupa Goswami's, I'm going to read a little passage that comes from Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava. Lalita Madhava is when Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava were divided into two. Lalita Madhava represents Krishna's mood, Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka, which means Krishna's feeling separation from Vrindavan. Lalita Madhava. Vidagdha Madhava is Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Lalita Madhava is Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. But his pastimes in Dwarka, as disclosed by Rupa Goswami, is his mood of separation from Vrindavan. So there's one passage where Radha is speaking to a crow. One stanza, Rupa Goswami. Radha says to the crow, "My dear friend, you're here in Vrindavan. Is it possible that you're going to Mathura? If you're going to Mathura," her mind just goes, "if you're going to Mathura, can you deliver a message to Krishna? Can you please tell Krishna that when one purchases an animal, it then becomes the responsibility of the person who has purchased the animal to protect the animal. Supposing the animal is in a stable or a place that they're being kept in a house, and the house is on fire. Is it not the responsibility of the person who owns the animal to go and release the animal from the house where they're captured?" She said, "My dear crow, this body is like that house. And my feelings of separation from Krishna is like the fire. And this fire is burning. The house is on fire because of my feelings of separation from Krishna. But there's a problem. The door of the house is locked. And that lock is Krishna's promise that he said he would come back to Vrindavan. And he's not come back to Vrindavan. He should unlock the door. Let us give up our life. Can you please give this message to Krishna?" Lalita Madhava. This was the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gambira. In another place in Lalita Madhava, Rupa Goswami describes the intensity of separation of Radha was such that tears were constantly streaming from her eyes. And sometimes it was too much. The separation pain, she fell to the ground unconscious in the puddles of her tears from the heat of her separation instantly evaporated all the puddles of water. The fire of separation of Radha wanting to see Krishna once again in Vrindavan. We also hear about in Lalita Madhava and other places the position of Uddhava. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we also find this description that Uddhava lived outside of Vrindavan. He was always in the constant association of Krishna, whether it was in Hastinapur or in Dwarka, or wherever Krishna went. Constant companion of Krishna, his constant advisor, Brahman counselor, minister. Krishna sent Uddhava with a letter to the gopis while he was in Mathura. He knew, because he was himself feeling the same separation from them. He knew their feelings very well. So he sent Uddhava with a message, soon I will come. And when Uddhava saw the love of the residents of Braja, particularly the gopis, the intensity of the separation, the feelings of the gopis, he could understand, I don't even know the first thing about love for Krishna compared to these devotees. Here I am, a big minister, big learned fellow, high position, riches, everything that a worldly person will want, but they're all useless in the face of what is the real valuable thing of life, love for God, as these devotees have, love for Krishna, as the residents of Braja have. So he prayed that he could become a blade of grass somewhere where the gopis, as they would be moving about in their feelings of love and separation for Krishna, some dust would go into the air and fall on their grass body. And he would then be blessed by the dust from the feet of the gopis. So elevated, he considered the love of the residents of Vrindavan and the love of the gopis. Now, how can we understand these things? We can't understand. We can describe these things, but without... So this is what visiting Gambhira is meant to do for us, to inspire us to appreciate how deep, unfathomably deep. So how can we enter into that mystery? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, through the chanting of the holy name. But it's not just numerical chanting. It's not numerical chanting either. But it's chanting with a deep feeling, with deep quality. So in his teachings in Chaitanya Charitamrita, right here in Gambhira, he indicated how that deep mood of devotion can awaken through the constant chanting of the holy name and through serving of the Vaishnavas and through the medium of service to experience awakening of loving attraction for Krishna through the medium of service, through the medium of loving exchanges in the course of the service that we render with the other devotees. This is the method that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. And we're all doing some service because we're constitutionally servants. There's not one of us that's not doing some service. We're all doing some service. So the opening of our hearts for that mercy in Jagannath Puri, this teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we find in Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Devotion, the qualification for devotional service, and that means the qualification for pure devotional service, is one's eagerness to have it. If there's eagerness for Lord Chaitanya's mercy, which comes through the medium of loving relationships with the devotees, the service is the medium, it's the exchange of loving relationships. That's what service is, the exchange of loving relationships. And in that exchange of loving relationships, the mercy of Krishna comes. The mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take us out of the material consciousness, the attractions for temporary things, illusory happiness. This is the opportunity. And here in Gambhira, it's most in its penultimate fashion exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is what Gambhira represents. These very, very deep emotions assisted by these two personalities, particularly Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar. Ramananda Roy, understanding the finest way of the essence of transcendental emotion, the purpose of the dramas that Ramananda Roy was directing was to churn those emotions in the audience and the performers, to bring the transcendental emotions to the surface. He understood how to do that through drama. He understood how to do that in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Mahaprabhu's emotions would move in this direction and that direction, he would recite appropriate verses simply to enhance that mood. And Swarup Damodar would sing different songs from the scriptures and from the writings of pure devotees, and sing so nicely that the heart of Mahaprabhu would be pacified, but at the same time complement and amplify those transcendental emotions. These two personalities, during the last 12 years of Lord Chaitanya's life, were in this constant association. You see how small the room is. So the arrangement was, during the evening hours, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy with Govinda would stay here into the hours of the night, and then they would put Mahaprabhu in a resting position in his room, but he didn't rest, he just chanted very loudly all night long. So they placed Govinda by the door. Ramananda Roy went to his home. Swarup Damodar went to his. And the chanting of Mahaprabhu would go on all night long. One time, Govinda no longer heard the loud chanting. So he went inside Gambhira and Mahaprabhu was not there. So he was in great anxiety. So he went and woke Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar. Mahaprabhu was gone. So they got lanterns and searched in the dead of night all throughout Navadvip. And they finally found him by the Singhadwara gate, the entrance to the temple, Jagannath temple, on the north side of the gate. And they were very happy to see him, at the same time shocked and appalled, because his body was stretched out like 9 feet long, because everywhere where there's joints, there was nothing like, not the normal position of bodies having joints stuck to each other, but the joints were separated by 6 inches of skin everywhere. His arms were like 6 feet long. His body was like 9 feet long. They didn't know what to do. So they gathered around him and loudly chanted the holy name, and chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted. And after some time, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes, there were three states of consciousness that Mahaprabhu in these final years would exhibit. One of them was internal consciousness, and he was gone for practical purposes. Another was where he was in external consciousness, like just doing his daily affairs, And another was half internal, half external. You didn't even exactly recognize where he was. He here or was he somewhere else? And he was barely dealing with the external environment. So he spoke to the devotees. Where am I? Why have you brought me here? And Srup Damodar then explained to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu what had happened. They had put him to rest and so on. So they brought him, when he came to his external consciousness, his joints again became in their normal position, just like that. And they very carefully helped him come from the Jagannath temple to Gambira. And they were in the process of asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu what had happened to him. He said that I saw Krishna. But as suddenly as Krishna appeared, just like a flash of lightning, suddenly he then disappeared. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes, they then heard the sound of the conch for the morning arti. Then Mahaprabhu took his bath and they went to the temple to see Lord Jagannath. No description of the rest of what happened. Another time, they were walking, we're going to be going to Gambira. On the way to Gambira is the Ayatota Garden. They were walking by Ayatota Garden and Lord Chaitanya saw the ocean. And in his mind he was thinking, the river Jamuna. And he ran. And he ran so suddenly and swiftly, the devotees didn't even recognize that he had gone. By the time they recognized that he was gone, he was gone. They didn't even know what direction he went in. So once again, they were searching and searching and searching. All night searching in different directions. And they couldn't find him. And they gathered together almost at the morning hour. And they were thinking, maybe Mahaprabhu has left us. Maybe his pastimes have finished. So suddenly, what to do? Just with the hope that that wasn't the case, they continued searching. And just as the morning light was coming, they saw, heading from the northern direction along the ocean, one fisherman was coming with his net. And he looked like he was in an intoxicated state, half crazy. And he was calling out the Lord's holy name, if I can recall correctly. And so they approached him and asked, my dear fisherman, what has happened? He said, I've been haunted by a ghost. I'm looking for an exorcist. Well, tell us what happened. Tell us what happened. I was fishing, as I do every night. And I was casting my net and a very large fish was caught in the net up by the Konark temple. We're not going to go there because it's so far away. But just to give you some idea, Mahaprabhu's body was being tossed by the waves in and out and in and out and in and out and heading in that direction. So when I brought the net in and tried to take the fish out of the net, as soon as I touched the fish, all of a sudden, it wasn't a fish at all. It was a ghost. It was transferred to my body from this being, whatever it was, that was in the net. And because I fish at night, every night, I always chant the Nisringa mantra for protection. And I've always been protected. But this time, to get rid of the ghost, every time I chanted Nisringa mantra, it became worse. And so I ran from the shore, coming this way, looking for an exorcist to protect me. They said, tell us more. Who was this? What was this being? Very, very long, with long limbs, with skin in between the joints. Oh, it was very terrible. Very terrible ghost. But I must go now. I must find an exorcist. Srup Dhammadhar said, you're in good luck. I'm an expert exorcist. Stand still. And he chanted mantras and slapped the fisherman in the side of the head. And now you're okay. The ghost is gone. He said, actually, that's not a ghost. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The fisherman said, no, it's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I've seen Mahaprabhu. This being is different. Whoever it is, whatever it is. He said, no. Sometimes when Mahaprabhu has these ecstasies, his body undergoes these transformations. Please take us to the exact place and show us. And again, they saw Mahaprabhu in this elongated condition. Body completely covered by sand, saliva, foam in his mouth, and his eyes rolled back in his head. With their hands, they washed the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu till he was clean, and then again, chanted the holy name very, very loudly for a long time. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes, he opened his eyes and said, Hari, Hari. And again, his half-external consciousness. Why have you brought me here? And then he began in his half-external, half-internal consciousness describing what he had experienced. He experienced the water sports of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Radha and Krishna. And as he was being tossed about in the waves of the ocean, in his internal consciousness he was experiencing the splashing of the gopis and Krishna in very poetic manner. And at the end of the splashing, they got on a boat and were proceeding very nicely. And then he heard this tumultuous sound. And then all of a sudden, there he was on the bank of the shore of the ocean. Because all night long, his body had been moving about, sometimes floating, sometimes submerged. His body was like bleached just to being in the ocean water for so long. So again, they helped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come here to Gambira. Simply keeping him in such great care. So they put locks on the door that you can only get in from the outside. And again, this would happen. One time they found him by the side of the temple where there's cows. At the end of the day, they throw the discarded remnants of what will not sell, the food that will not sell in the shops. And the cows come and take. And Mahaprabhu was lying there, this time like a tortoise or like a pumpkin, with his limbs retracted within his body. These symptoms, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, is simply the description of what Raghunath Das Goswami provided. He quotes from a book written by Raghunath Das, what his experience of seeing Lord Chaitanya in these forms was like, first-hand experience like a pumpkin. No head, no arms, no legs, just contracted within his body. Same thing, chanting loudly. His limbs came back to their normal position. Mahaprabhu looked around. Why have you brought me here? Where is Krishna? And he described the transcendental experience of being in Vrindavan with the gopis, being given some service to assist the gopis gathering flowers so they can make garland as Radha and Krishna were entering into a bower, and a flower bed for them to rest had been prepared. And the gopis were singing very sweetly, and he was enjoying such transcendental happiness, and then all of a sudden this loud noise. And this is what Gambhira represents. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so deeply experiencing Radha's unparalleled Mahabhav mood of separation from Krishna, and his most intimate associates, Ramananda Roy and Sarup Damodar, assisting him. So once again, how can we understand? We can't understand. We can glorify, we can appreciate, and we can beg for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that we can somehow get a taste for chanting of the holy name, somehow enter just the one book that Mahaprabhu wrote. The 8 verses of Shikshastakam were composed here. Our acharyas describe these verses are sequential, and one cannot enter into the deeper moods without having accomplished the first 3 very nicely, deeply appreciating the mood that Mahaprabhu indicates, how one can get a genuine taste for the holy name. This little map, the Shikshastakam, was composed here in Gambhira. And Mahaprabhu would regularly taste the verses of his own writing in the company of his devotees, and the writings of Chandidas and Vidyapati and Jayadev Goswami. When we were in Navadvip, we visited the place where Jayadev Goswami composed Gita Govinda in Champahati, 300 years prior to Mahaprabhu's presence here. And he would enjoy tasting the mellows of that devotion. So he's given us the opportunity, at least. He's given us the means. He's given us the transcendental association of Srila Prabhupada, giving us these wonderful, wonderful teachings with his Bhaktivedanta purports to guide us and protect us from Sahajiya approach, and help us enter into the genuine mood of devotion that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can present and represent. Last, the deities of Radha, Ramakanta, Radhakanta, have a very nice history behind them. I'd like to describe it briefly. The father of Prataparudra Maharaj, the king before Prataparudra became king, his name was King Purushottama. So King Purushottama wanted to have his son Prataparudra become married to the daughter of the king of Kashi. And the king of Kashi heard that Prataparudra, he liked the idea until he heard that Prataparudra was sweeping the street before Lord Jagannath. That's not a suitable service for a king. So he said no. King Purushottama took exception to this. So he declared war on the king of Kashi. And when charging with his armies to do battle with the king of Kashi for this offense to his son, King Purushottama was never defeated prior to being defeated by the king of Kashi. And when he was defeated, understanding the purpose behind was to defend the honor of one who takes the position of the servant of Jagannath, he couldn't understand how Jagannath allowed, in this case, that he would be defeated. So he came back to Puri, smashed. And he consulted the Brahmanas and said, how could this be possible? And the Brahmanas then said, they asked him, did you go and seek permission from Jagannath before you went? Oh, I forgot to do that. No wonder you are defeated. Going off in a big huff without the blessings of the personality of Godhead. So King Purushottama went before Lord Jagannath, offered prayers. He seemed to get the sense from Lord Jagannath that he had his blessings. So he gathered his armies again, a little apprehensive this time, heading for Mithila. And as he was heading for Mithila, he passed by one village or one marketplace. And in the marketplace, he saw that one of the vendors, a lady, was wearing some ornaments of Lord Jagannath. And so he got down from his chariot and horse and asked the lady, those ornaments that you're wearing, do you mind letting me know how they came into your possession? She says, oh, I don't mind at all. Before your whole army came, there were two of your soldiers. They came through here and they were requesting some of my wares. And when I asked for some payment, they gave me these fine jewels. One of them was darkish and the other one was very white. They said they're the advance party for your army. King Purushottama understood what this meant. Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram were making sure that he would be victorious. They were present. And very easily he defeated the king of Mithila. The king of Kanchi. And in the city of Kanchi, there were two deities that, along with the daughter to marry his son, this Radha Kanta deity and a Ganapati deity were then brought here for worship, and they were placed on the side of the altar next to Lord Jagannath. Later the king, the father of Prataparudra, had a dream in which Lord Jagannath told the king, when the Pujaris bring the offering every time, this Ramakanta, he's smelling the offering first. Can you place him somewhere else where he can be worshipped nicely? And so the king gifted the deities to Kashi Mishra. And to this day, they're being worshipped in the house of Kashi Mishra. And as we entered the Radha Kanta Mandir, Lord Jagannath is very playful and very transcendental in his exchanges of love with his devotees. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very kind and merciful in his loving exchanges with his devotees. And all these amazing pastimes took place right here in Gambira. Just being in a sacred place like this, the Skanda Purana description is even if you just speak words and walk and sleep and eat, like, you know, do bodily functions in a sacred place. So there's such benefit. What to speak of hearing these messages from realized, perfected souls given to us, given coming down in disciplic succession. It's such a great opportunity, merciful opportunity. So let us pray that we can receive that mercy. That will come if we're very eager for it, if our hearts are open for that mercy, and take up the services that we do, certainly while we're here and beyond, the services that we do in serving one another as Vaishnavas, serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whatever our capacity permits, rendering our service with this eagerness to receive Lord Chaitanya's mercy. The love that Lord Chaitanya wants to attract us with. The love for Krishna that he wants more than we want. We should want to receive that from him. Great place of inspiration here in Gambira. So we can spend a little time. Now the kirtan sounds like it's over, we can more peacefully go and visit. And you'll have a long time translating. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.